friends. Welcome to another special bonus edition of Talking Flock, your full Mingo podcast. It is I, your host, Rob Chappell, and joining me today, the guy you always see patrolling the sidelines and all around the stadium on game night and having nothing to do with what's going on the field, just talking to people and making solving problems. And that's what he does every day in the front office, Mr. Connor Kaloya. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Rob. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk mostly about off the field stuff. We're going to talk about office stuff, league stuff. But I do want to touch base just with the on the field product. At the end of last season, disappointing end of the season, immediately you and the management and front office came out in support of the coaching staff. And just to quell any thoughts that there might be a change there, he said, Matt's our guy. We have full confidence in Matt. Month of June, he's coach of the month. And we're sitting in a pretty good spot. Do you feel like that decision is vindicated? How are you feeling just about the on-field performance of the season so far?
We feel good about it. I mean, we feel good about Matt and Matt's staff, and we're encouraged by what we've seen so far. I mean, it was we were in first for a bit. We've fallen off a bit, but we're still extremely positive. We feel we've got a good roster put together, and you can just kind of feel the vibe around the team is in a really good spot. So, I think, it was tough to see a year ago for some, but Matt's a good coach. Matt's got a super high ceiling as a head coach, and Matt's got a good staff, and we believe in those guys, and we trust them, and they're great to work with, and we thought it was important that they got another chance, and I think they learned a lot in their first year together, and I think they're showing what they've learned and by the changes they've made this year. So no, we're extremely encouraged, and very supportive, and 110% behind Matt and the group.
Yeah, and it has been interesting to see him put together almost an entirely new roster, right? And we hang on to a handful of guys, but really build it from the ground up in many ways. And what was that process like in the off season? Was that here's your budget, go get them? Or were you in conversation with him about some of those player contracts and things?
Yeah. I we hire a head coach and technical director, and it's his or her job to put the team together and to win. And so I don't get super involved in that. There's some relationships I have, some pre-existing or existing players, returning players, some agent relationships. So I'm tangentially involved. I'm checking in the off season daily with them to hear updates, but that's Matt's ship to steer with his team. And it's not my position or ownership's position to meddle in roster decisions. You asked what was that process like? It was a lot. I mean, we kept four players out of a 21 to 23 man roster. So it was a lot to totally turn things over. It took a pretty big leap of faith to do that. And to see it proving results is really, really encouraging and feels good. It was important we kept the pieces that we did. But I give Matt and his team a lot of credit for, a pretty rapid reconstruction that's proving results here so far in 2023.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about a rebuilding year, usually in sports, that means it's going to be a down year. But they literally rebuilt it, and they're succeeding at least, a little over halfway through the season, which is great to see. So let's talk a bit more about the sort of the front office responsibilities. You have league meetings coming up next week, right? August 9th, 10th. The big buzz around that is Jeff Reuter from The Athletic reported that there's going to be a pro-rel vote, which everybody wants to talk about. And that spawned a million Reddit threads about it and Twitter threads.
What's pro-rel, Rob? What is that? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's the system in England, you see. Yes. We don't know what's being voted upon, or if there's actually going to be a real binding vote of any kind, because there's not a lot of specificity around that reporting. But it's a topic that comes up all the time. It's something that could differentiate USL from MLS or from if that isn't something. Well, let me ask you that first of all. As a USL person, as a person who's all in on USL now, we'll talk a bit more about your other USL ventures. In a little bit, but does How do you feel right now about the relationship between USL and MLS and NISA and the other leagues? Is it is there competition there? Is there are there things USL needs to do to try to differentiate from MLS?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the USL and MLS no longer have any kind of formal relationship.
Right.
I think we're kind of in a different space, and our focus here with Ford Madison is the people of Madison. In winning League One, we're a local lower division soccer product. We're fortunate to have a somewhat national and international following and shipped merchandise to 50 states, 32 countries. That's great, but you know, our focus isn't trying to join the MLS. Our focus is to be the best League One club in this great smaller market of Madison, Wisconsin, and to do the best we can, both on and off the field. That's what our focus is. I think, there's NISA, there's MLS, there's USL and their various leagues. Growth in soccer is great. I mean, this is a long time coming to have what's now 120, I think, professional soccer teams across the U.S. And you're only going to see that grow. And that's great. The more soccer, the better. We're all for it. But, we don't spend too much time worrying about NISA or MLS. We kind of worry about those other 11 teams in our group in League One, and worry about what we can do to sell more tickets, get more people here, and hopefully win this league.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've talked in the past generally. 2 years ago, this was supposed to be ordered on in like 2021 or something, and kind of got kicked down the road. I think the league brass kind of wants to do something dynamic, something big to correspond with the World Cup being here, the United States, the Men's World Cup. And you talked generally speaking about being in favor of promotion relegation. Let me just step back for a second. On a vote like that, or a vote on any issue, how does it actually work at the league meetings? Does each club get a vote, or the Division II sides get more votes, that kind of thing? Like, is it the Federation, or how does that, what's that constitution like?
Yeah. My understanding of it is in kind of any issue, and there's probably 1 to 2 votes a year on different things. League One, the 12 owners, other clubs that are maybe coming in mm-hmm. in the future, those owners get a vote in League One, votes as one group, and then the championship, USL championship, would vote as a separate group. I think anything that would have an impact across the league, across the different leagues, so anything that would impact both championship and League One would require affirmative votes in both leagues, and those leagues vote separately. They don't, at least in my time in the league, we've never voted combined on anything. We always have our own governors for League One, and I believe Championship has their own governors as well. So I think each club gets a vote, and those votes are always kind of separate by league. And the league would need an affirmative on any topic to move forward.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that they were separated like that. So to get pro rel, you'd have to get not just most USL clubs as a whole. You'd have to get a majority of USL League One clubs to buy in, and a majority of championship clubs to buy in, which is a larger group, right? So that's that's an interesting.
Yeah, and we to be clear, our league meetings are in Colorado Springs, August 9th, 10th, and 11th. Mm-hmm. We don't know or have yet to see what the vote or any vote would be. We don't have the language on that yet. And we don't know, I think there's certain topics that are voted on that require a supermajority, certain topics that require a simple majority. Mm-hmm. So we don't quite have clarity on that yet. And that's something, I think will be discussed in the upcoming, either the upcoming week or even beyond that.
But as I said, at least 2 years ago, you were just broadly in favor of pro rel as a concept, promotion relegation, and the idea that Ford Madison could potentially play its way into the championship. Is that still kind of where you're sitting?
Yeah, listen, I've been a proponent of promotion relegation.
Yeah.
Before it was even something we were talking about, I think it's a good thing. Now, here I am, an owner of the team at the lowest division. So, of course, I want promotion.
Well, right? That's the next part of that question, though, Connor, that you've got – now you're going to be an owner of a team at the upper division also in Milwaukee. Does that change your calculus at all? If you have your Milwaukee hat on, are you thinking about it differently than with your Madison hat on?
No, I think promotion relegation is generally a good thing for soccer, right? That happens everywhere else in the world. It doesn't happen here. Right? But mm-hmm. there's a reason that it happens everywhere else. It's a good thing. So I'm absolutely for it. Now, anytime, you got to kind of turn the clock back, though. And if we just talk Madison, don't talk Milwaukee, in this particular conversation. If you turn the clock back to when we joined the league and there wasn't promotion relegation. Now there's discussion of a potential shift to move to promotion relegation. I'm all for promotion relegation, but anytime you have a business or an entity, a sports entity, whatever it is, and there's a structural shift on how you're operating that's changing how you've operated for the last 5 years, there just needs to be discussion on what that means. And I think, my fear is a club. Well, I think promotion relegation is really good. These are tough businesses to run. Our costs are up significantly annually. Mm-hmm. Especially since post COVID. I get a little concerned in a promotion relegation environment. I only see costs going up, right? If teams are going to compete, they're only going to go up. And so, if costs are going to go up, I want to make sure there's something on the revenue side to offset those costs or at least some solution there. And I think that's where, is our club sits right now. We're trying to figure out and do some work on, what's the revenue solution for the revenue answer for what we expect to be rapidly increasing costs. Now, with that being said, we want to make it happen. If we get presented on it, we hope to be a positive vote on it because we do think it's a good thing for Forward Madison. We think it's a good thing for American soccer. And we think it's a good thing for the USL.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on what the revenue thing is? Because my thought is, as a just outside observer, that if Madison gets promoted and has spent the whole season winning in League One, gets promoted to sort of like maybe the bottom half of the championship in terms of player payroll and talent and stuff. I'm not sure that you're going to sell more tickets just because we get to play against Rio Grande Valley instead of Greenville, you know? So is it the TV deal? Is it merch? What do you think the revenue piece is, it could be for a club that gets promoted?
I think that's what everybody's trying to figure out, Rob. I think that that's the, and I think that there's potentially a scenario where you're going to have to leap without knowing what the answer is. Right.
Yeah.
I think your assessment about local revenue, we rely on local revenue. We local revenue is 99.9% of our revenue, right? And so that's what we're dependent on. We're a local business. That's what we knew when we got into this. And the focus is, we're a local retail business. We got to sell tickets, sponsorships, and merchandise. And so I think your assessment's correct that if there was promotion relegation down the road, and if we did get promoted, it's going to grow our local business, but that's 5 to 10%. It's not going to drastically change our local business. So we do have to figure out how other ways we can generate revenue to support potentially additional costs. And when you talk about additional costs in a promotion relegation environment, I don't even think it's just getting promoted. I think even just to exist at the current level, I think spending. Sure.
Well, if you have something you're chasing besides just
exactly
playoffs, right? And you're gonna, and that's one of the arguments for it has been like clubs are gonna spend more on players. Right. And that's, which is great for us out here, but gives you heartburn, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, well, it would be part of the deal, and we want to be competitive. We've tried to be competitive from the start here. These are just the calculus, the things that need to discuss. I think from the, if you're sitting up in section 108, promotion relegation is great. You're sitting in the office here. It's great, but it comes with some questions, and that's sure. What needs to be discussed. And like I said, we're hopeful it can get sorted out. We think it's a great thing. We've been a proponent of it since we joined the league 5 years ago. So, so we do think something like this is needed, but it needs, you know, it's obviously being, everybody's trying to figure out all the details.
Is it fair to say that you would broadly be a yes vote if the presentation is right, if the details make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean,
you can be in favor of ProRail, but still vote no on a proposal you don't think will work.
Yeah. I don't want to speak to what our vote would be, but I think you're right, Rob, that while there's a lot of good energy I think the buzz since that story broke and The Athletic has been great, but you know, we really got to kind of understand ProRail's complicated. It's not just ProRail. And so we got to understand all those details to, you know, before we get to a vote.
You said something that surprised me a little bit, that like almost all your revenue is local. Without getting into anything too proprietary or whatever, can you just give us a hint as to what the pie chart looks like in terms of ticket sales versus concessions versus merch versus sponsorship?
Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, for I think it's probably no secret for anybody that's been in the industry, but you know, anywhere between 40 to maybe 55% of your revenue comes from tickets, right? Our largest share of anything comes from ticketing, right? And we've got a really supportive fan base, a really supportive season ticket base. Yeah, we have a really good corporate ticket base. And then, you know, your next largest category is corporate partnerships, advertising. And then, you know, we are fortunate that we outperform kind of the league standard or league metrics on the merchandise side of things. We do about double in merchandise of what the kind of standard percentage should be of your overall revenue. So if you kind of broke it down by category, tickets, your largest chunk, followed by sponsorship, and then merchandise behind that. And then, you know, there is match day revenue tied to food and beverage as well.
Curious about, I want to just hint again, we'll hint at Milwaukee and then the Super League, brief updates in a bit, but one of our Twitter followers wanted me to ask you we're kind of through that the brand new opening phase, and we're through COVID for the most part, at least in terms of people coming to games. Like we're back to where, you know, attendance levels, and we're back to the full schedule and everything. So we're kind of settled into this, but we're still a relatively new business, right? It's still startup mode kind of. What does the next 5 years look like for Forward Madison, just specifically Forward Madison here, ProRail aside, but just the match day experience, you know, your plans for the club is here in Madison. What are you thinking?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Something we think about a lot. While we are technically in year five, in a lot of ways, I feel like it's year two, because we had an amazing year one. 2020, we didn't play in Madison. 21, the first part of our season, we were at 20% capacity. And then 22, we came back. But I think you see the attendance in kind of the match day environment this year is really back to 2019 levels and even beyond that. So you know, we're fully back. So a lot of ways it's year two. But if you look at the next 5 years, I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but I have some hopes for what it's going to be. I hope we're going to have stability on the technical side. I think stability is a good thing. And I think Matt Glazer and his team are doing a good job. And we'd like him to be a part of our future here. You've seen us invest in the facility. You know, in 22, we finished the Forward Club. 23, we have a new video board and new ribbon boards. We'll continue to invest in the facility. I think moving forward, from a promotional and marketing and connecting with the fans standpoint, we're going to need to continue to innovate. We're going to need to continue to be creative and continue to give people a reason to come to our games. And winning is part of that, but also the fan environment's part of that as well. And I think, you know, when we started in 19, we essentially had a one-year plan for the facility. We were just trying to make it to year two.
Yeah.
And now that we understand what Bree Stevens Field is, now that we've got amazing community support, now that we'll do 7 concerts here this year, we really have a 20-year vision for Bree Stevens Field, and we're looking at the long term and how is this historic facility remain historic, but at the same time evolve into the future. And and meet the needs of a modern consumer. And so that's something we're thinking a lot about. And I think the hope would be within 5 years, you start to see some major facility changes that address the long-term needs of consumers and really, give us a 20 or 30 year plan here for Breeze Stevens Field.
Obviously, one of the big pieces of that plan is to increase the capacity to accommodate a first division women's team, which was announced earlier this season. The ESL Super League is going to, try for Division I status, and that our stadium would have to accommodate that in many ways, in facilities for players, but also in capacity. Have you gotten to the point yet of talking to architects and engineers and stuff about where you're going to put 3,000 more seats, or is that just still working somewhere, somebody in an office somewhere trying to figure that out?
No, we are far along in that process. We do have an idea of some concepts that could address those needs. We do have some cost estimates. We continue to put all that together as we work with the city. We're excited to hopefully bring professional women's soccer here to Madison. But in order to have that happen, we as you said, Rob, the facility doesn't quite meet the standards of Division I soccer from a capacity standpoint. Also doesn't have the proper facilities for a professional women's club. And so we're working now, starting to work with the city on figuring out how we can address those needs and hopefully make it a reality.
And that's the thing people have to keep in mind too, that this is a city-owned facility that you manage, right? The Big Top Sports manages. So there's always an extra layer.
There is. City. I mean, this
of stuff to go through.
1926. So, it's here before I think any of us will, but it's a city facility and the city's been a great partner. Mayor Rhodes Conway is extremely supportive of everything that happens at Breeze Stevens Field. And so we're excited to be engaging in these conversations with her staff right now.
So speaking of the Super League trying to gain tier one status, top tier status, that changes the calculus and the type of player you're coming. So are you watching the Women's World Cup at like a talent scout?
I'm not charting the game, and I am watching the games other than the 2 a.m. one. We've been doing watch parties here at Breeze, and we've averaged over 500 people out on the field, which is great. But we're a few years down the road, Rob, but it is something, it's unique on the women's side here in America that, I think you could see women that are in the World Cup, mm-hmm. playing here in Madison in a few years. It's unique kind of the level we're entering at and how we will do plan to compete. So that's pretty awesome to be seeing the best women's soccer players in the world could be playing here at Breeze Stevens Field in the not too distant future.
I know my daughter is 10 and she's very, very excited about it. So don't screw it up.
My daughter's 9 and yeah. She shares that excitement. Yeah.
Oh, good. Is there last thing here? Do you have any updates about Milwaukee? We're down to 10 names. And since folks are working through the process of picking one and getting the branding going, how are things on that? And how are things on the stadium side? And just anything, any updates at all?
Yeah, no, there's great momentum in Milwaukee. I mean, the fan engagement process for the name, the team contest, it's blown us away. Over 200,000 votes, and people have a lot of opinions, but they're super engaged. They're super interested. And so now we're kind of getting down to those last few names and trying to figure out what that identity of the club should be. So we own the land. There's been demolition started. There's new buildings going up on the housing side of things. We're still on schedule for 25 and really just encouraged about everything that's happening right now as we kind of try and build this club. There's great energy in Milwaukee.
Now back to the pro road. For a second, there's a real chance that Madison and Milwaukee could end up in the same division at some point. Either if Milwaukee gets relegated or Madison gets promoted, you've got a little experience of that on the baseball side, right? You guys own several Northwoods League baseball teams. How does that? Is that? Are there rules against that? Because owning two same division. Yeah,
Northwoods League baseball, we own four teams. There wasn't rules against that. We were always very good about designated different people would recruit the different teams, so there wasn't any kind of crossover. Right. Soccer, it's a little different. U.S. soccer does have some ownership rules about owning teams in the same division. When Madison and Milwaukee are both in the top division, yes, that'll be a concern. So we will have to address that. But no, that's something we are. You're an astute observer, Rob, to pick that up. And it's something we're discussing with the league right now. And in one of the many questions around promotion relegation, but these are great questions to be asking. These are fun questions to be asking and good problems to have down the road.
Yep, 100%. Well, Connor Kalea, Chief Operating Officer, Big Top Sports, Ford Madison, the whole thing, Milwaukee Pro Soccer, Madison Super League. You are the guy in the middle of it, and I really appreciate you giving us a few minutes today.
Always good, Rob. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll see you around Breeze soon.
Yep, we sure will. Thanks.